VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of a Game 7 Sunday show. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas as the countdown is on. We're about 8 hours away from tip between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. Game 7, the first one in 9 years in the NBA Finals. Last time we saw it, the dog in the Cleveland Cavaliers completed that 3-1 comeback, beating the Warriors in a pretty shocking result, a 73-win Warriors team. Maybe even more surprising would be if the Indiana Pacers, a team that was the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference, not believed by many that they could even make it out of the East, wins the NBA championship when they were around 5-1 to win the title heading into this series. To help us break it down, he's been on the program before. You know him at HP Basketball on social media, over at the Action Network as well, where he's got his best bets up. It is Matt Moore. And Matt, I want to jump right into it because I was reading through your best bets article over at the Action Network, and you are of the belief that it can happen, that the Pacers will be hoisting the Larry O'Brien Trophy tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think at least the value is there. I think that based off of where the market is at, how, and look, this still continues to fascinatingly take a plummet towards the Pacers here. We opened 9, there's 6.5 in the market now. Yep. I'm really curious to see where this line stops at tonight. But I look at this and I just say, if there's one team I feel confident about going on the road in an environment where home teams usually win and not being affected by it, it's the Pacers. They've consistently shown that kind of pedigree and that kind of approach, that kind of attitude. And that goes back to last year. Everyone said when they were going into Game 7 versus the Knicks and MSG, they're like, wow, there's no way the Pacers are going to win this. The home team's going to take it here. And then, nope, they came out and they were winning before all the injuries befell the Knicks and they fell apart. So I look at this Pacers team and I look at a team that has consistently found answers. They still have a few wrinkles, I think, left to throw at the Thunder. Haven't used a lot of zone yet. I look at a Thunder team that I think really got shook up by the immensity of the moment in Game 6, knowing that that Larry O'Brien Trophy was there. They have to go through the walkthrough before the game of, hey, just so you know, guys, if you win, here's what happens. That gets into your head a little bit, players have said. So I think they're still going to be a little bit rattled. I think the Pacers are still playing a little bit more free with house money. And with this number where it is, I think the value is on the Pacers to win.
Your colleague over at the Action Network, Evan Abrams, who does such a great job finding the trends, pointed out that the Pacers have won 3 games outright as an underdog here in the NBA Finals. That is tied for the most since the merger, tying the Raptors in 2019, the Bulls in 93, and the Pistons in 1990. And also, the Pacers have won 10 games this postseason as an underdog, Matt. So, look, this has been a team, if you've been backing them periodically throughout this postseason on the money line, you've been making some pretty good cash.
Yeah, and one of the things that's interesting is everyone throws out the numbers on the overall performance of home teams, right, in Game 7s of the Finals. But if we look at the last 20 years, and our sample decreases quite a bit, but even if we just take Conference Finals and Finals, their performance kind of gets a little bit shakier. And then it gets even shakier when we look at against the spread numbers. And one of the things that I'm really curious about is we've seen this trend of if you win Game 6, you have a much better chance of going on the road and winning that Game 7. Like, we've seen that kind of consistently happening. Here's a fun one. In the Conference Finals or Finals, the last 3 teams to lead at halftime all lost the game straight up. Huh. I think that's an insane kind of trend going on, even if it's just 3 games. But yeah, teams that lost Game 6 by double digits at home in Game 7 are 16 and 13 straight up, but just 11 and 18 against the spread. So on the one hand, we got this Pacers team that's doing something incredible. It's doing something amazing that always seems to find a way to battle back when everyone's like, there's no way they win this game. And then on the other side, we got a Thunder team where I think there's just a lot of both pressure and the spot isn't quite as good as what those overall Game 7 home numbers indicate.
Matt Moore joining us courtesy of our progressive guest line at HP Basketball. He's got his column up over at the Action Network right now looking at his best bets. He took a flyer on the Pacers on the money line. You did not play the total. And I want to pull up our graphic here. Many know by now, but you know it is worth looking back at the recent Game 7 history. So we go back to 2016, Cavaliers and Warriors. That game goes under 93-89, the final score in that one. Spurs and Heat in 2013, 95-88. 2010, it was Celtics-Lakers in that ugly Game 7, 83-79. 05, Pistons-Spurs, 81-74. And then in 94, it was the Rockets over the Knicks, 90-84. All of those games, none of the teams involved got into triple digits. As pointed out, also, the last four games, Matt, if you look at it, the last four Game 7s in the NBA Finals have gone under by an average of 17 points per game. That all being said, there's a massive adjustment, right? This was 222 and a half in game 6, and now we're looking at 214 and a half. So ultimately, you are staying off the total.
Yeah, I really wanted to be on the under because of all those trends that you kind of talked about. The history of this game just says, like, this is a great under spot. Just play it. Just don't even think about it. Just play. I can't get there with this Pacers team. I just cannot get there. You know, like I mentioned, that game 7 in Madison Square Garden, that was a huge game for them. First playoff run. Put up 130 in that game. Like, I look at this and I just can't get to a place where I want to play an under on the team combined. Now, I do think if you want some of the trends that are kind of interesting on this is basically the losing team is where this absolutely gets outrageous in terms of how bad it gets offensively. So the team total, I think, is whichever side you like, play the under on the opponent's team total. Like, that is really the way that you should kind of look at this because that's been how this has gone. You know, in 54 of the 72 game 7 wins across all three rounds, the losing team's team total has gone under 54 out of 72 times. So I think if you're like, no, OKC, I think OKC probably gets it done. All right, then you should be on the Pacers all unders. Like, take an under 100 on their team total. Get all the way down there and get aggressive with this, because if the trends hold, this number is ridiculous based off of those numbers that you showed and what we've seen. I just look at Indiana and I go, I do not think history matters to this team. I think they have shown consistently that they have been able to break those historical trends so much that I don't want to get involved on the total.
Yeah, game 1 was 230 and now we're sitting at 215 or some 214 and a halves out there. So that's a pretty big adjustment from where we were to start this series to where we are now. Matt Moore joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. You've got some props that you wrote up over at the Action Network. I want to get to SGA. He's only gone over 1.5 made threes once these NBA finals, and that was in game 1. Matt, so back to the well for you on under for three-pointers for SGA?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of a way to sneak in kind of on the side on the underplay here, yeah. Right? Is to be like, yeah, okay, Shea's not going to be able to get, you know, as many threes up. Thunder have had problems generating threes in this series. The Pacers have kept them off balance, and they haven't been able to get into any sort of flow offensively, especially in the half court. Shea doesn't want to take pull-up threes. It's not where he's comfortable. He wants to get to mid-range. And the Pacers have adjusted a lot in terms of where they picked him up at, but they are still not going to allow him to get any sort of like space, I think, for those pull-ups. See, that's the shot that they want to take away from him first and foremost. And so I don't think he's going to try and force that issue. I think he's more likely to pass out of those situations than he is to shoot. They also sent more help at him, and they've slowly kind of crept up in terms of sending and hedges at him across the series. I'm expecting a lot of that in this game. Make anybody else make a big-time shot in a Game 7 environment. So I like the under on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander three-pointers.
All right, so on the flip side, we've got Aaron Nesmith, who's the sharpshooter. When you look at some of his numbers, we all remember what he was able to do in the epic comeback against the Knicks in Game 1 with 8 three-pointers in that game. But look, this is a guy that they rely on to hit some big threes, hit 2 in Game 6, 4 on the road. So he's not afraid to hit some threes on the road in OKC. He's hit 3, 4, and 4, Matt. Mark is sitting at 1.5. Juice is moving towards the over, and I think that's where you're looking as well.
Yeah, that's what I like here as well. They've done a very good job of kind of, you know, in the beginning of the series, I was like, oh, this isn't going to be a Nesmith series. It just didn't look like an environment where he could really have the kind of impact that he did in the first two, you know, in the last two rounds versus the Cavs and the Knicks. And so I was like, well, all right, it's probably not a Nesmith series. So very quietly, the Pacers have kind of taken the attention and the adjustments that the Thunder have thrown onto guys like Pascal Siakam and Tyrese Haliburton and even Andrew Nembhard, and use it to get Nesmith a few more situational threes. These game 7s are also kind of random sometimes. It's a lot of choppy up and down play, kind of sloppy. Neesmith really thrives in those environments. He's very good at pull-up threes and transition. So I like Aaron Neesmith over on threes today.
Matt Moore joining us once again, Progressive Guest Line, and you can read his column over at Action Network looking at his favorite plays for Game 7. Let's get to a rebound prop. Miles Turner, 1-for-9 from the field in Game 6, 3 points. He had 4 boards in that game. And when you look at the market right now, it's 4.5 rebounds for Miles Turner, minus 35 to the over, plus money to the under right now at DraftKings. How are you looking at Miles Turner and his rebound prop tonight?
Yeah, like the under. I think the reason this is kind of juiced this way is based off of the fact of the expectation of there being more scoring. And if I'm skeptical of that, based off of what I talked about with the total, then I think there's value on here on him to go under, because I don't know there'll be as many missed shots for him to grab. Turner has to do so much in space. It's hard for him to be able to kind of corral, box out, and then dominate on the goal, on the glass. We just haven't seen it. It's not the type of player he is. You know, Tyrese Haliburton kind of slides in and grabs those. He's very good about sneaking in and snaking those rebounds so that they can get up the floor. The Pacers want their guards rebounding. They want their forwards rebounding. They're not necessarily dependent on Turner to have a big rebounding performance here. If this goes over, it's probably because he misses a bunch of offensive rebounds and gets them back on a sequence. But I'm willing to take the chance on that and go under 4.5 rebounds for Miles Turner.
At HP Basketball is where you can find him on social media. He's got his plays there over at the Action Network. Always appreciate it, Matt. Best of luck with your bets tonight.
Anytime, man. Enjoy Game 7.
There he is. Matt Moore joining us, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Always love hearing Matt's analysis to break down the NBA. Hey, folks, just a reminder, there's a new sports betting market in town. It's called XCUTA. I'll spell it for you. XCUTA. XCUTA is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own XCUTA auctions for you and your crew for any sport or sporting event. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournaments. Hey, they've got pre-practice auctions now running daily at from 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a three-month free bidding subscription, email support at xcuta.com. And make sure you mention VSIN. xcuta.com, the future of future wagering.
Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Game 7 Sunday. Coming up bottom of the hour, 15 minutes from now, we'll talk to Wes Reynolds, get his thoughts on his beloved Pacers. Will he be celebrating in the streets of, I think he lives in Henderson. I'm not sure if he lives in Vegas or Henderson, but regardless, somewhere here in town, will he be celebrating popping champagne as the Pacers win their first NBA championship? I know they got ABA crown banners up there in the Raptors at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, but will it be the Indiana Pacers? It's interesting to note, we've had two guests on the show, two folks that I highly respect their opinions, Zachary Cohen and Matt Moore just a moment ago, and whether it's just a value play or not, both are intrigued by the Indiana Pacers at the price that we see right now. Where we sit right now, market-wide, Plus 215 is the money line now on the Indiana Pacers. So that has dropped pretty significantly here from the open. This opened at plus 280. And then think about it this way, folks. If you go back to after Game 5, the series price was Pacers 10-1. So we've seen a lot of movement here towards the Pacers to be able to finish this thing off. If you want a better price, Circa is offering a plus 235 on the Indiana Pacers. The Pacers have not faced a Game 7 this postseason. The Thunder have, facing the Nuggets in the second round, winning that game, going away 125-93. But Rick Carlisle, look, he's a guy that I think most of us would agree the Pacers get the advantage when it comes to coaching. Rick Carlisle, he's not in yet, but he will be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the best coaches in the game. If they win tonight, by the way, he would be the oldest head coach in NBA history to win the championship. I think he's like a couple months older than Greg Popovich was back in 2014 when the Spurs won their last title. But Rick Carlisle, he's aware of Game 7s. This will be his sixth Game 7
in his coaching career. The last time was a year ago, a 130-109 victory over the New York Knicks, impressively in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Here's Rick Carlisle on heading into a game seven against the Thunder.
I love pressure. I mean, as you go on in your competitive life in sport, what you learn is that these moments are rare, and trying to duplicate this kind of situation is something that you look to do in everyday life. And it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to do that. So I'm very much looking forward to game seven. You know, these are the last time we've had one of these in the finals, I think, was 16. I've seen some things about that. And these are special moments for certainly for both teams, but for our league, for the game, you know, for the worldwide interest in the game. And so, you know, it's a time to celebrate.
Will there be a tightness from either one of these teams? Will you hear the old proverbial, well, you know, the Pacers are just playing with house money? Thought it was interesting to note Matt Moore pointing out the teams that win game six, the success we've seen from them heading into a game seven. But also remember where this game's going to be played, in Oklahoma City. We had Luka Garza on last hour, and he said after going up against the Thunder this postseason, OKC has now become number one in his eyes in most challenging environment to play in. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the league's MVP, is well aware of how strong their home court advantage is.
The crowd is amazing. You're ultimately like in your complete comfort zone. Like the flow of the day doesn't change. You're in your own bed. You have shoot around at your building. You eat your pregame meal from your chef or your whoever. So it's just like, it's very comfortable, the whole flow to the day. And then, the crowds behind you, they give you energy, whether you're up or down or whatever's going on in the night. So it's, it's an advantage. It's fun for sure.
Look, this is a team that the proof is in the pudding, how well they have played at home. 9-3 ATS at home this postseason. They've lost twice, two games that, let's be honest, I think kind of gave away, specifically in this series against the Indiana Pacers. Up 15 in the fourth quarter, and the cockroaches that are the Indiana Pacers, and I say that in the most endearing way, they came back, put the pressure on, and ultimately won 111-110 thanks to that Ty Halliburton game-winning shot. But what we also know about the Oklahoma City Thunder is that they're 18-2 straight up coming off a loss this season. And I believe if they get the win today, it would give them the best mark in NBA history from a winning percentage standpoint coming off of a loss. And they've also been covering quite well coming off of losses as well. Now, you could point at earlier in this series, it was a very fortunate cover, but hey, ultimately they did get there from a cover standpoint in game four against the Indiana Pacers. But this is a team that won 68 games during the regular season. They've won 83 games now if you include the playoffs. And Lou Dort realizes that, hey, because we won those games in the regular season, we get the opportunity to play at home tonight in front of our raucous crowd.
We always use the crowd, you know, to they always give us a lot of energy, and then we love them for that. And then, like I said, we got to block the noise and all the stats and all those type of stuff. You know, we just got to go out there and do our best to win the game. But, you know, we work hard to get to this point and have the home court advantage, and we're happy that we get the game, you know, at home.
You know, I want to show you this graphic of just looking at all six prior games and where we are heading into tonight. Because let's just look at the adjustments that we've seen in this series into where we are tonight with a total sitting at 215 and a spread sitting at 7, even some 6.5s out there in Oklahoma City. Game one in OKC. Indiana catching 10 was the closing number. Total 230. Pacers go out, win the game. 111-110, as mentioned. You get that comeback in the fourth quarter, down 15. They come back, they win the game. Game goes under. Pacers cover the point spread. Game two, you get the zigzag adjustment. Oklahoma City goes off as an 11.5-point favorite. Oklahoma City goes out, covers the number. The total also goes over at 228. We've only had the total go over in two different games. All right, let's go to Indiana. Zigzag in effect. Indiana still the dog, catching 5.5. Of course, game three, Pacers go out. They take care of business. They win outright 116 to 107. Also worth noting, as we mentioned, the Pacers have won 10 times this year as an underdog this postseason. If they win tonight, they would set a record for most wins as a dog in playoff history. Game four, zigzag belief. Oklahoma City goes off as a 6-point favorite. They get the cover very, very fortunately, but they get the cover. Game five, back at OKC, laying 9. They win 120 to 109. Game six, desperation spot, Indiana, catching 5.5 at home, and ultimately they win 108 to 91. So we've seen a total move from 230 in game one all the way down to 214.5 right now market-wide. There's a 214 out there. There's a 215 out there. We'll meet in the middle, 214.5. So that's a 15.5-point move in the total. And then the point spread. And now I think you have to ask yourself this. Has it moved too much? When you think about Oklahoma City in game four on the road was laying 6. And at home, they're laying 7, maybe even gets to 6.5. Is that adjustment correct? Or is it too much of a move? And then the total. And look, at a principle, I don't blame you for betting the under. I would lean under as well, with the history telling us game sevens in the NBA finals, they all trend under. We've talked about it ad nauseum. But that is a 15.5-point move from where the market was at in game number one. I thought Matt Moore just made a great point too. Last postseason, the Indiana Pacers played in a game seven. They put up 130 points. I don't know if the Pacers are going to slow things down because it's a game seven. Now, could shots be hit missing? Of course. But I think the Pacers are going to do what they ultimately want to try to do. And lastly, I'll say this, and we'll get to Wes Reynolds on the other side of the break. I think what was so staggering to me about game six was the turnovers. Oklahoma City turned the ball over 21 times at Gainbridge Fieldhouse on Thursday night, and they forced just 10. Do we see that defense return? The defense that we saw in game one that didn't lead them to a win, but the defense that is so suffocating, do we see that return here tonight? Because it wasn't there in Indianapolis on Thursday night. Hey, folks, just a reminder, as you all know, we're about 2 months away from the football season. Why not bet smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription? For a limited time, you can get our football special at an early bird rate for just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You don't want to miss out on this early bird special. VSiN.com/subscribe, just $175. Wes Reynolds joins us next.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Looking down at my wristwatch that I don't have, pretending like I have a wristwatch. Can we get this game started already? We've been talking about it for 2.5 hours. Oh, wait, it doesn't start for another 7.5 hours, probably closer to 8. And I know our next guest, he wants it to go off right now. Get the game started already. The one and only Wes Reynolds, our resident Indiana fan, joins us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. I want to start with this because, look, we're all bettors here at VSiN, obviously, and we have allegiances to particular teams. You know, for me, Notre Dame, obviously, is one that I love. And thinking back to the national championship, Wes, I went into that game thinking, do I really want to bet this game from a side standpoint? So I'm curious for you. This is the biggest game in the Pacers' history, right? They've never won a championship in the NBA. They've won ABA titles. How do you go about it as a bettor, and how do you go about it as a fan? Are you going to load up the portfolio, or are you going to keep it light? What's your kind of mindset from a betting standpoint with the Pacers here tonight?
Yeah, I think, Tim, from a betting standpoint, I have to just treat it as one game, even though it's game seven for the NBA championship here. And, you know, the first time the Pacers have been in a game seven in the NBA finals. So this is obviously a very big deal from a fan standpoint. But from a betting standpoint, I'm trying to separate it, you know, and I did bet the Pacers on the side. But, you know, it's not something that, okay, I'm going to bet bigger because it means more because it's the championship. I'm going to treat it like one bet, like I would any random game on the baseball card today or on the WNBA card today. So, you know, I'm not going to like go, I think, ultra heavy onto it. But from a fan standpoint, I'm embracing why not Indiana, which sure has kind of been a tagline on one of the t-shirts that have been sold around the city over the last few weeks, because I think they can absolutely win this game. They've been underpriced and disrespected, I think, all season. And I think that's one of the main reasons you're seeing a move onto the Pacers, because we've seen it all series, Tim, from a betting standpoint. It's all zigzag theory, right? Yep. And zigzag has gone, I think, 4-1 so far in these finals. But I think people are finally figuring out that the Pacers, you know, it's not about the Thunder if they've been overpriced or not. They won 68 games. They had the second highest net rating all time behind the 95-96 Bulls. So, of course, they're going to be priced to the moon. But the Pacers have been underpriced. They had not lost consecutive games since March 10th until they lost games 4 and 5 of these finals. And you're going against a young team in the Thunder, second youngest team to reach the finals since the NBA and ABA merger. Youth has shown on the road. They've been a lot better at home. But I think if this is going to be a tighter game, Tim, I think it does favor Indiana. So I'm embracing let's get weird, because weird games, I think, are better for the Pacers. They're 18-12 in games decided by 7 or less in the regular season. Thunder just 9-8. So I think that's one of the main reasons you're seeing that, because it's like, hey, these Pacers, you know, got to give them their respect. They're pretty freaking good. But part of me is like, I don't like all of the market love necessarily for the Pacers here. I would rather them be disrespected one more time.
Well, and that's so interesting, Wes, as we talk to Wes Reynolds, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. When you look at the adjustments that we've seen in the market, everyone is discussed ad nauseum. I'm guilty of it as well. The Game 7 under trend, right? The last four Game 7s in the NBA Finals have gone under by an average of 17 points per game. We've discussed the last five Game 7s. We've shown the graphic a million times. So we've seen a movement from 230 in Game 1 to now 214.5 for this total. But what's also interesting is where we are from a point spread, right? In game one, it was 10. Game two was 11.5 in Oklahoma City. Now we're looking at 7, some 6.5s out there. So while Indiana absolutely deserves credit and they've won 3 games outright as a dog here, Wes, my curiosity to you is, has this moved too far here in favor of Indiana from a point spread standpoint?
It may have, it may prove to be just that, moving a little bit too far. But, you know, I mentioned some of the reasons. Number one, the Pacers being underpriced, but also the fact that the market maybe saw what they needed to see out of Tyrese Halliburton on Thursday night. The fact that he had to just play 22 minutes and he gave you 14 and 6 assists, best of both worlds, gets a couple days of rest, even though he's not going to be 100%, he showed he could be productive. And his production has been lower anyway. In this series, he's been averaging 15 points and 6 assists. Regular season, he was 18.5 and 9 assists. So, you know, it's been tough for him because he's had Lou Dort basically shadowing him. So the production's been down, but the bench has stepped up. Mm-hmm. The Pacers' bench has been the better bench throughout this series, especially Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell. They've outscored the Thunder by almost 11 a game in this series. I think Carlisle has more scoring options, really, with the Pacers. And we saw in game number 6, role players don't always travel on the road, especially the Thunder. Caruso really gave them nothing. Wiggins and Wallace kind of regressed back to earth. So, you know, Carlisle trusts these guys. Toppin and McConnell, I think, other than this game 2 for Obi Toppin where he didn't do much, they've been very consistent on the road. So I think that's a feather in their cap for one of the reasons why the market is moving toward their direction. And also pressure. Both teams are going to feel the pressure, sure, because you never know how many opportunities you're going to get game 7 NBA Finals. But I think it's more so on the Thunder. They're at home, MVP of the league, championship favorite since the start of the playoffs. I think the pressure is definitely more on OKC. And if this is close late, and that's what the Pacers have to do, just keep it close late. Don't let them get to that comfortable 12 to 15 point margin that they did all the time during the regular season. Keep it close late. And all of a sudden you see these guys on the Thunder go into ISO ball. And ISO ball is not good for this team. It wasn't good for the Pacers either.
No.
In game number four. It's what lost them the game. So you got to keep moving. You got to be quick and decisive against this Oklahoma City pressure if you're the Pacers.
Wes Reynolds joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line at Wes Reynolds 1. So looking at the prop market, you know, you and I were talking briefly off air, and you mentioned role players and how they tend to thrive at home and not so much on the road. Are there any role players today that maybe you're looking to fade in the prop market?
Yeah, I think maybe Benedict Mathurin a little bit. 7.5. I think it's getting actually bet down to 6.5. I just don't see his clock got really cut in game number 6. And, you know, he had a big game earlier in the series. But I just think defensively, he's such a liability that Rick Carlisle's not necessarily willing to trust him. I thought he was going to have a big game in game number 6 when he wore that Canadian tuxedo on his birthday. And he ended up having one basket. So, you know, I'm a little won't not to trust Ben Mathurin from a Pacers reserve standpoint. But in terms of props, Tim, I don't think that there's many edges to be had from a player prop standpoint now that you're in game 7. And obviously with the total being substantially lower than it's been all series, it's going to be, you know, biased toward the under, I think, in this whole thing. So, yeah, I'm not going to have a huge portfolio load here on props. I think the best time to bet props in an NBA playoff series is in the meat of the sandwich, not in the bread, not in games 1 and game 2 or in game 7, but in games 3, 4, 5, and 6. That's where I think the value is. So I'm probably not going to have too many props tonight, but that Ben Mathurin I can see under 7.5. You are paying some heavy juice though now.
Yeah, I think I might wipe my hands of it. Tyrese Haliburton game 3, I expected a big performance from him. We got it. I expected a poor performance from him in game 5 from an assist standpoint. That was the game where he got banged up, and we were fortunate to get that one as well. Wes Reynolds joining us here. So Wes went back to his hometown last week. He joined us on the program, went to games 3, game 4. You also went to the Fever game on Sunday when they took care of business, handed the Liberty their first loss. In our neck of the woods, they'll be taking on the Las Vegas Aces this afternoon. Right now, market's at around a pick'em between the Fever and the Aces. Aces have been underwhelming this year. Anything you're looking at for Fever Aces this afternoon in Vegas?
Yeah, and the Fever were kind of underwhelming on Thursday night. They were double-digit favorites against the Golden State Valkyries, who expansion team, but they're probably better than the market gives them credit for. And the Valkyries took care of business. And Natalie Nakaze, who is the coach there, who is the chief assistant to Becky Hammon for the Las Vegas Aces, they miss her big time because she is a good defensive coach. Caitlin Clark had a lot of difficulty, only had 11 points, did not shoot the ball very well, 3 of 13. So we'll see if she can rebound here a little bit. Aja Wilson did just come back from the concussion on Friday night. They lost to Seattle. But I think if I'm going prop in this game, one that I would look to attack is going under with Jewel Lloyd, the new acquisition for the Aces that was with the Seattle Storm, under 12.5 points. And I think with Aja Wilson back in the lineup, Aja is just going to have such a huge usage, especially now having a game removed from the concussion and, you know, working off a little bit of the rust. Fever don't allow a lot of three-pointers above the break. They've done a very good job in doing that. And I think Boston has really defended the rim very well on guards that have been driving to the basket. So nothing yet on the side. I think it's definitely a coin flip, but Jewel Lloyd under points is where I would look.
All right, before I get out of here, what will you do if the Pacers win tonight?
Well, I'll be on a numbers game tomorrow, win or lose, with Gil Alexander on VSiN. But if they win tonight, I'll be booking flight reservations to go back to the Circle City for a big parade.
Wes, always appreciate it, man. Best of luck to your Pacers tonight.
You bet, pal. Thanks for having me.
There he is. Wes Reynolds joining us courtesy of our progressive guest line. Hey, folks, just a reminder, if you want to get in on Circa Survivor or Circa Millions for free this season, wouldn't that be nice? Winner Circle Proxy is giving away one free $1,000 entry to each contest plus full proxy service. Enter now for your chance to win. Head on over to winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. That's winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN.
You're tuned in to the VSiN. VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Well, alrighty then. We've got ourselves a blockbuster trade on Game 7 Sunday. Yes, Kevin Durant, one of the greatest scorers of all time, he has been traded, and he is headed to the Houston Rockets. That, according to Shams Charania, just 5 minutes ago, the Phoenix Suns are trading two-time NBA Finals MVP Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets for Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in Wednesday's draft, and 5 second-round picks. So Jalen Green, the most notable piece headed there, along with the second, the number 10 pick, and Kevin Durant headed to the Houston Rockets. So breaking news here on Sunday morning as we get ready for Game 7 of the NBA Finals. We were wondering where he could ultimately go. Would it be Minnesota? He said he didn't want to go there. Would it be Miami? Houston was one of the teams that made a lot of sense, and the Houston Rockets have made the big deal. They have gone out and got Kevin Durant. I'll be honest, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it here. We got to get the best bets and continue to get you ready for Game 7. But I tell you what, Tom Byrne and Jeff Schwartz coming up top of the hour, we'll have plenty on this. So Kevin Durant has been traded. He is headed to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, of course, the 2 seed in the Western Conference playoffs this most recent year, lost in the first round to the Golden State Warriors, had a ton of assets, a lot of young pieces, a lot of draft picks, and they will be trading for Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant on the move to the Houston Rockets, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the number 10 pick in Wednesday's draft, and then 5 second-round picks. So breaking news here this morning, Kevin Durant on the move to the Houston Rockets. Thank you, NBA, for overshadowing game number 7 tonight. So there you go, a little breaking news there. But I do want to focus more on tonight. And once again, Tom Byrne and Jeff Schwartz will have you covered coming up top of the hour, more on the breaking news that Kevin Durant has indeed headed to the Houston Rockets there. I'm just taking a look real quickly if they have. They do have the odds up. And the Houston Rockets, I believe, are the second option now to win the NBA Finals over at DraftKings at plus 750. So we've seen a couple of big moves. Desmond Bain on the move earlier last week, I should say, to Orlando. And now Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets. But as for Game 7, point spread sits at 7. Total sits at 214.5. And Tyrese Halliburton and company trying to pull off the stunner. It would be the 11th victory as an underdog this postseason for the Indiana Pacers tonight. Tyrese Halliburton, eyes on the prize tonight for the Pacers.
I just think as a group, I think the important part about winning a championship is, you know, you got your name in history as a group. You know, I think that's the most important thing. But as far as like thinking about anything like that, I mean, I don't really think about what's to come after the game, you know, success or not. Just fully focused on Game 7, and I'm trying to take it just a moment at a time, really enjoying what we're doing and understanding, like, this is, you know, going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest game most of us ever playing in our lives.
Right now, Tyrese Halliburton, 10-1 to win NBA Finals MVP. The favorite amongst Pacers, Pascal Siakam, sitting around plus 350. So I would say this, if you think the Pacers win tonight, as we talked to Zach Cohen, he does think that that's worth a play. Matt Moore agrees with that. I do not think it's as easy as play Pascal Siakam as opposed to the Pacers on the money line. I do think there's a path to Tyrese Halliburton becoming NBA Finals MVP. Last hour, we had a chance to catch up with Minnesota Timberwolves center Luka Garza, who, of course, went on the road this postseason 3 times and played against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they went 0-3. In those games, not only straight up, but against the spread. So far this postseason, the Oklahoma City Thunder, 9-3 ATS at home. They've been tremendous at home. They're 2-1 ATS and 2-1 straight up so far in the NBA Finals. I talked to Luka, as mentioned, about just that daunting atmosphere there in OKC. Luca, what is it about that home court, that atmosphere, that is so challenging to win in Oklahoma City? When you look at the results, they've lost two games this postseason. Both, they honestly should have won, right? They blew game one of the NBA Finals. But against you guys, I mean, it's wild the difference you see from this team at home versus on the road. So what can you say about just the atmosphere and why it seems like this Thunder team plays so well at home?
Yeah, it's incredible what they've done. You know, that home base, those fans are insane. I think, you know, after our playoff series, you know, it took over my number one spot as crazy environment, craziest environment in the NBA. You know, they got those paper noisemakers. You know, we walked through one day after shoot around and we just had to see what it was. And so we folded it up and tried to make the sound, and those things are loud for one person. So imagine everybody's in there. You know, they all got the t-shirts on and they're just going crazy. So it's definitely one of the craziest environments, and the team feeds off it. You know, they love that. And, you know, it seems like it's just never ending, no matter, even if you start to play well and hit a couple shots, you know, that they don't get any less loud. And, so it's definitely credit to them for having that type of environment. But, you know, I think for the Pacers, you know, they can have the confidence knowing they have won a game there. And they've already got that, you know, that monkey off the back, so to say. And so going into this game, I think it's just, you know, game seven, you know, anything can happen. So I think the home court advantage isn't as big of a factor.
Interesting. So he kind of went against it and said, look, maybe the home court isn't going to be that big of a deal here in game seven. But good stuff from Luka Garza from the Minnesota Timberwolves earlier in the show. Best bets for this game earlier today, Matt Moore likes the value on the money line. I don't know if he necessarily believes that the Pacers will indeed win, but at the price that is out there, he's intrigued by the Pacers. Zachary Cohen, his article up at VSiN.com now, took the points with the Pacers as well as looked at the money line. And I'm going to get to my best bet here in just a moment. And as always, our best bets brought to you by our friends over at GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open up a GBank Visa Signature credit card in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive a $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN, that's us, we'll complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a $200 value. So once again, that's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. My best bet, and we'll preface this. Yesterday on the show, one of my best bets was SGA to win NBA Finals MVP paired with LSU to win the College World Series. That came out to a plus 127 price yesterday. So obviously we can't bet that at that current price. Now, I do think SGA is an interesting bet when you look at the price that it is for him to win NBA Finals MVP versus what we have for the money line. I think minus 195 is a steal, because SGA is going to win NBA Finals MVP. I don't think there should be a difference of about 60 or 70 cents in the betting market. But my best bet is going to take place in Omaha. And I want to revisit a quick clip here of Coastal Carolina and their starting pitcher today, Jacob Morrison, when they were asked about LSU earlier this week.
Your thoughts on LSU, what do you admire just as student athletes and fans of baseball? What do you like about the Tigers?
Not a whole lot.
That was Jacob Morrison, who will be the starting pitcher today for Coastal Carolina. Last night was a phenomenally pitched game by both sides there, Coastal Carolina and LSU, as Cade Anderson goes the distance, 130 pitches, strikes out 10. Cameron Flukie, not too shabby himself, struck out 9 in 6 innings there on the bump. Today, Jacob Morrison, Anthony Ianson, another great matchup. We talked to Mike Monaco in hour number 1, who will be doing the pregame show on ABC, and he said, wind's still going to be whipping in. I like under again. I played 8.5 right away last night. We talked about this with Jimmy Ott yesterday on the program, foreshadowing to the possibility of an under again. 8 is still out there in the betting market. And I still would play it at 8 minus 20 to the under. Still some 7.5s out there. But I think we should get another well-pitched game today. Jacob Morrison, the ace for Coastal Carolina, 12-0 with a 2.08 ERA. And Anthony Ianson goes for the LSU Tigers. Should be a fun day of sports. Once again, the breaking news here, Kevin Durant on the move. He is now a member of the Houston Rockets. A two player and multi draft pick trade, sending the 10th overall pick as well as Jalen Smith and Dylan Brooks to the Phoenix Suns for Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant headed to the Houston Rockets. Up next, ladies and gentlemen, it is Ready, Set, Bet. It's got Tom Byrne and Jeff Schwartz. Plenty more on Game 7, as well as the breaking news of the morning that Kevin Durant will be a member of the Houston Rockets. Thanks to everyone who joined the show today. Mike Monaco, Thomas Gable, Zach Cohen, Luke Garza, Matt Moore, and Wes Reynolds. I'm Tim Murray. This has been the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.